Welcome to the GWB podcast. I'm your host, Nikhil Rabindra. This is the first ever episode, and I'm really excited to share it with you. Before we dive in, I'd like you to think about something for a bit. When you were a kid, what did you want to be when you grew up? Take a second to imagine a life in that world. Now, reach out to a childhood friend and ask them what they wanted to be when they grew up as well. I'm pretty sure their response will surprise you, and the two of you will have a great catch-up. One that I hope is as pleasant as today's guest. Let's get started. So my guest today is Shyam Srinivas Raghavan. And he's been my friend for many decades now. And he's actually the person who pushed me to start this podcast. So before we get back into a time machine and talk about school and everything else, let me ask Shyam to introduce himself to the rest of the world, a little bit about what he's doing these days, and we'll take it from there. Hi, Shyam. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Nikhil. Thanks for having me in your show. To everyone, my name is Shyam Srinivas Raghavan. I live in Germany, near Stuttgart, and I'm working at a big automotive supplier company trying to bring in some automation into their factories. So I have a lot of interest in automation, robotics, these kind of topics, and glad to be working in this field. It's great to be here and talk to all of you. And once again, thank you, Nikhil, for having me over in this podcast, your new episode.
Thanks, Shyam. So, Shyam, so the name of the podcast is the General Workbook, the GWB podcast. Do you remember what the GWB was in school?
I actually had forgotten about it. I would have treated this as sort of memories that come vaguely into my head about this workbook, this rough book. I'm sure it used to be the canvas to open up ideas, to dream about a lot of things that you want to achieve. You want to, like, when you're sitting in a class, oftentimes if there's some boring subject going on, your mind begins to wander, right? There are windows on your side and you just look out, and then your mind begins to wander. And in those, when it starts to wander, you think about, okay, how would it be if I could do this, if I could do that? So those days I wanted to be, a pilot for the Indian Army. So I would draw planes, plane diagrams. And this also helped me join a group where we designed a space station. And the ideas for all this at one point went into the rough book, the general workbook, if I may. So it was a canvas to explore ideas. Of course, there would be a formal part of the workbook where you use it as some quick paper to calculate or take down notes, but there would also be somewhere in the middle an informal part. And I think I would not use the last pages to play hangman. I would use all the center pages. And the last pages can get caught very easily. No. What was there in yours?
Well, I mean, before I come back to mine, I want to say this, that the very fact that you had the tact to play the games in the middle of the book rather than the last pages shows that you're smarter than most of us, at least back then, right? That is the step one. Secondly, I think now I have known you for probably 18 years, almost two decades.
Wow, that's crazy.
And not once did I ever know that you wanted to be a pilot. So this is news. This is news for me. Let's go into that. When you drew planes, did you just draw stick figure planes, or did you like draw certain models? Like, were they like fighter jets? Were they like
all kinds? The motivation came, I think, from most of the people that time they saw the movie Border, And that was the point where, because you know, the Air Force comes in, swoops in, and saves the war and tilts it towards the Indian side. That was I think 1999, right? And you're this young kid has a lot of wants to do something and sees this movie and the impact it has on the war. And that is when I got triggered to join the Indian Air Force as a pilot. Mm-hmm. And I used to buy all these computers. So I was a lot into computer games at that time.
Flight simulator.
Exactly. Flight simulator. And, you know, those 500 games in one CD.
Of course. You got a lot of demos rather than the actual thing.
Yes. Those. And there was Flight Simulator. And I think Microsoft Flight Simulator was there. I actually bought the full version. The games used to be really expensive, but it was a lot of fun to take off a plane and land it. I used to go with my dad in the real plane, and then I used to bug each air hostess to let me go into the cockpit and look at the cockpit, because I'd seen it in the flight simulator I wanted to then see how it looks in the real life. And in those days, they actually allowed it, you know. But it was a bit laid back, and you could just go into the cockpit, actually. Anyone could request the air hostess and go in. That is something I actually miss right now, you know, because right now it'll be a disaster to allow someone. So this is something I really miss. And all these things together then brought me into this phase of that I wanted to be a pilot for the Indian Air Force.
So let me go back to, so Jackie Shroff saving Sunny Deol was the reason you got triggered into this path, which is great on one hand.
Yeah.
I want to kind of, this is again very interesting, because this is a shared experience which we have had for different, I mean, Flight Simulator is such a memory for me, but I played Flight Simulator for a very different reason.
Okay, what is it?
Flight Simulator for me was a way to see the world without leaving my room.
Travel bug.
Yeah, now that I think about it, I don't think when I was, my thoughts as a 10-year-old or 11-year-old had formed that much. But I was always, so like, even when you took off in the plane, you know, like, you had these different views where you had the cockpit view or you can switch the view to like the outside plane. So sometimes I was more focused on switching out of the cockpit because I wanted to look what else was around. Is there a mountain? Is there a mountain? Is there water? And then like, I wanted to go to different airports. I wanted to see, like, at some point I wish I wanted to travel to another city. And this is how stupid, this is how silly I was. I was like, if I practice how to go from Bangalore to America right now, I don't know where in America, but if I know the route now, then tomorrow I can take a real plane and do it.
Hey, but that's not very silly. I mean, that's how you, those are the kind of things that come into the GWB, right? Like the flight path, the flight path that you think you would take, like what you would, when you drift away in the class, all of these thoughts come into your head and you want something to write all these on. Maybe you want to try a different airport, try a different route another day. So you make a note of it or something. Yeah.
That time the aspiration was to get enough money to buy the full version of Flight Simulator so I can see another airport, not even try.
You know what was my motivation? My motivation was to buy that the gaming system with the stick and the steering wheel. That used to be so expensive, and I really, really, really wanted it for 3-4 years during that time, because that gave you that force feedback and all. So when you actually take off, when you take off and land, you actually get a feedback of the motor of the engine. I really wanted to get that.
But now in the world with VR and VR and AR and things like that, I think the technology might have also gotten a lot cooler. Have you like revisited things, this aspect of your life, this passion?
Gaming actually, like, it comes under gaming, right? Gaming is something that was a big part of my life till I was in India. So, like, maybe till 10, 12, about 10 years ago, I was a big fan of the flight simulator games, GTA, and also the Assassin's Creed series, because mm-hmm. that series was really, really good. But I was always a big fan of playing games on computers. I was never on... I never console. Joined the console bandwagon. And at some... But, like, of course, this gamepad used to be a fun thing. So I used to connect it to Windows and, like, the PC, and then use the gamepad and continue to play FIFA. FIFA is... I actually tell people who ask me, do you follow any sports? And I'm like, sorry, man, in that aspect, somehow I didn't catch up to rest of the world, actually. And I just know and play FIFA. And even living in Germany, I'm not a big football fan, unfortunately.
But you know the teams thanks to the sport, right? That's all that matters.
Of course.
I know a few teenagers or some kids now who call football real FIFA. They're like, oh,
that's hilarious.
Yeah. They're like, yeah, like, oh, they play real FIFA on the ground. I said, okay, that's interesting. That's how much impact that brand has.
Yeah, that's so always this gaming was a good part of my life. Oh, if you remember, I think this was back in 2008.
Yeah.
We had this first synchronized.
That's exactly where I was taking the conversation to. So, yeah, go on.
It was that IT fest that we had set up and we were hosting.
Yeah.
And I think Unreal Tournament was one of the highlights of that.
So Synchronize happened, and we'll come back to this in a second. So Synchronize was probably the only tech fest that existed that we called. Back then, we didn't know the difference between tech and IT and whatever it is. But right. So different people, since it was started by our batch, most of us who were in the computer science class took some ownership on different topics, right? So for instance, I along with a couple others were in charge of a competition called Brand Value, which is like an ad making, but for something cool, which is some cool fictional tech object. So I was in charge of that. I think, what were you in charge of? Were you Turing test?
I was in charge of the Unreal Tournament.
The gaming. There you go. So you were in charge. That was called Quad Damage, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Quad Damage. You're right. Yeah.
Right? So Quad Damage. So the whole tournament, so the whole thing got over. Of course, there was enough tamasha in the actual event, which we can talk about another time. But once we finished the whole synchronized, right, the whole fest, we were all just chilling in the lab. And I think one of us, maybe you only, you went to the teacher and you said, ma'am, we've done a good job. Can we play for a bit? And she switched on. And I think then we switched on the LAN and we played late back in the day. It was maybe till 6:37 in the night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We played Capture the Flag, right? I remember that.
But that was Quake then, or was it?
No. It was Unreal. It was okay. For sure it is Unreal, because that's the only game I know how to play.
And FIFA. Life FIFA.
Real life FIFA I can play. Yeah. Not digital FIFA. But I remember that, because what would happen is the teams were not sitting in the same groups physically, right? Virtually, like red team were scattered, blue team was scattered, whatever.
Mm.
So sometimes all you had to do was look at the guy's screen next to you to figure out where the flag was and then just let everybody else know.
I remember this event. This was after, I think, after the event.
Yeah, yeah.
After Synchronized Quad Damage, I remember there was I think this is the only time I've ever seen that computer lab, and I think it was
packed.
But like back in a Walsh block, right?
Yeah. No,
or was it the Elphick House?
Elphick. It was Elphick. Yeah, I think so.
I recently went to a school, like in December.
Yeah.
I went because, like, I wanted to show my wife the school. And it was beautiful. It was surreal. I went to, like, I have this, so I joined joined school in fifth standard. Didn't come in from KG. I moved from Kanpur in the fifth standard and joined Bishop Cotton's. And like, I was literally sharing every class's highlights mm-hmm. in front of the location where it happened. Like, for example, I was in 5C, but what was that block?
I don't know the name.
Thomas or Pope or
no,
something?
No. Thomas was kindergarten. Pope was ISC. Pettigrew was actually our 9th and 10th. Elphick was the labs.
Next to Marina on the left side, that block.
No. I know exactly. I was there. I was in 5A. So 5C was literally down the hall. So I know yeah. what you're talking. It was kind of slightly behind the hall, in a way. That's where it was.
Yeah. That block.
Yeah.
And I told her this is where it all started. This is where I met some great friends. Like at that time, this was the first time, or like in fifth, I'd met my lifelong friend and really, really, really good friend of mine, Siddhant Maipal. Then I learned the school and house song there for the first time. Nixon extorsum.
Yeah.
Then I remember there were a few hits on my knuckle that I've received. And so inside and outside on the knuckles, you know, like when the outside was hurt, then you turn your hand and get it on the inside.
That is the elegant version. For us, what do you call, the inside is hit, right? So when the inside was hit, your hand naturally goes down.
Yeah.
In order to bring your hand back up, you were smacked from the outside up twice and then hit again.
So I started like, this is one of the things I started with. Then, of course, the first 11 field, Cotonian shield. Yeah, then I took her to Tower Block, like Tower Block, you know, 6th standard.
Yeah, Tower Block was beautiful. Well, old Tower Block was, I mean, Tower Block then used to be 6th, 7th and 8th. But I remember in 8th, they made like a new age replica of it called the Indy Center for Learning. And half of us moved to that in 8th standard.
Which one was this?
We moved in 8th standard. We were all in the Tower Block. But then halfway through 8th, we moved to another building next to it, which had just been constructed.
Oh, the one next to the chapel.
Yeah, yeah. And that also had the same look of the Tower Block, if you remember.
No, but it doesn't look like the Tower Block.
Yeah, it had a tower. Oh. Yeah, same thing.
Oh, yeah, of course. Oh, yeah. There was a tower, etc. Yeah, but like the old feeling, you know, that brick feeling, that was not there. And then, of course, I went to the cafeteria and guess who was there?
Babu.
Yes. And he was so happy to see me. And
wait,
he took me immediately.
No, my question is, you think he has seen thousands of kids? You think he actually remembers us or does he fake?
No. He's just happy someone is there, like some old Cotonian.
Yeah.
And he was like... He came and when I just went in, he came and said, who am I? Like, he asked me, who am I?
Mm.
I was a bit surprised. Like, I recognized him, but still, I just said, yeah, you're Babu. Who Babu? That was his question.
Mm.
It's like, yeah, I mean, the famous Babu. And then he started laughing and then he took me to one corner. Mm. Yeah, I know. He was proudly showing off this medal of service of 25 years.
25 years. Wow.
Mm. Yeah. And like, he now has white hair.
No, he stopped dyeing it. That's what you're saying.
We don't know, right? Yeah. So this was the cafeteria. Then, of course, the second 11 field where I used to be a part of the... conduct and be a part of the Pope House assemblies. That was very nice. No, I think in 10th standard it was started.
Yeah.
By Colonel John Ellis, that we have on Thursday mornings.
Yeah.
A house assembly, and everyone has to come in the house t-shirts.
That was a Thursday uniform, right? So
Thursday uniform. That was a very nice thing that he started, you know, that the house gets together.
I like that too.
Achievements.
And even the magazine which we did, the Pratibimb, which I really liked as well.
Pratibimb, yes. Yeah. Pratibimb, that word is such a big part of my life that I met some Indian here and we were discussing suggestions for a new project name that we wanted to launch. And I actually suggested Pratibimb thinking about.
Are you serious? Wow.
Yeah.
Look at how, I mean, I had a few questions pre-planned to ask you and you're kind of in the conversation answering a lot of it. So Pratibimb actually, since you were, I guess, house captain, you had a bit of, you had a lot of editorial say on that, because just for everybody else, Pratibimb was the house magazine. So we have five houses. Mm-hmm. And I think at some point in 5 months, we had to each release. And pretty cool on the school that they actually put in the money to publish these magazines, which was made by us, right? Like, so each month, I guess, each house would publish a magazine. So do you remember what your house magazine cover was? Life of me do not remember any house magazine other than mine. And I'll tell you why. Tell me yours.
No. You're complete. You were saying something. I stopped you.
No, I know what mine looks like. And I'll talk about it right after you tell me about what you remember about your house magazine.
So I don't remember much, but I have them in my email. I actually have it in front of me on my email. I think we had just finished this Colonel Lalit Rai session.
Oh, yes.
I remember that. Oh, he had come and given a speech about Kargil war. And I think that got incorporated into this magazine.
That was a very nice non-jingoistic conversation about... He just kind of... It was a good storyteller and kind of explained what he did in the Kargil war. But I think it was done in a very positive way, which I think, again, was a very impactful moment in my life back then as well. Just the fact that, you know, like you get to understand what, like his perspective on things, it made me more proud to be from my country rather than hate another country in that conversation, mm-hmm. if that makes any sense.
Yeah, of course it makes sense. I think all these, all these experiences, I'm thankful to the school for providing us all these opportunities, these experiences, because I recently visited the border of Rajasthan with Pakistan.
Mm-hmm.
And there is this Tanot Mata temple, which is basically a temple set up by the local villagers, and both sides worship there. It's the temple that protected that area from bombings, etc.
And that's what Sunil Shetty is also praying to, right? In border.
Exactly. It's the it's the movie. It's the temple of that movie. And I think there is some relation to some. I have this feeling that there was something mentioned about this in Colonel Rai's presentation also.
Mm-hmm.
So all these things, you know, they just, hey, I've seen it there. I remember it from there. You know, that kind of feeling comes when you look at all this. And you hear, yeah, when you go and visit these places. So yeah, this is what happened in, I think, Second 11. We were at Second 11 field, right?
Yeah.
So then there's this Fourth 11 field. Fourth 11 field was where during the short break, and I guess in the lunch break, we all used to play, like not me, but like a lot of people used to play football. I think 11A, we used to practically live on that field in the breaks and play football, if I remember.
We did, yeah. In the short break, we played in the smaller field so that we could optimize our time into playing rather than getting to the field. To the bigger field. And I think during lunch, mm-hmm. we went to the bigger field.
Yeah, so I used to optimize breaks in another way. I used to have my lunch in the short break so that I have more time in the lunch break to do whatever I wanted to do. And then I would go home and be very, very hungry because like I'd eaten lunch at 10 o'clock, nothing after that.
See, I know people,
Yeah.
which is hilarious now that I think of it. I know people like you in a way, half like you, where they ate their lunch in the short break, and then they use the lunch break to eat other people's lunch.
Yeah, that's obviously say a good number of people.
And then I think they and that it was almost like one, you know, mafia hafta. Like they had a circuit on which class to go to, whom to eat off of. They will come and like we just knew that he's gonna come and eat this food.
So you will ask for extra from home, I guess.
Basically. Yeah. I mean, but that's what it was. Like, that was the nice part of everything back in the day. So no, but
Yeah, and then
What I was going to go back to Pratibim for a quick second is, so like from our, the only thing I remember, and this is one of my first creative things I did, was I had a crazy idea for our, so everybody was, I think it was going to be a separate prize for the best designed magazine as well, not just content. And I said, and I think you guys did a lot more on technology. I mean, yours was like very professionally made. Like, I think some of them, I mean, at least the first two, which were like Scapegoat, just use WordArt and like put the colors of the house on it, and it was whatever, right? But I think you guys had a cleaner design from, and when I open it up, I can see it right now as well. Yours, I'm seeing it on my computer, what you just
Yeah,
said.
because we had a very, very talented guy in our team, Mr. Thomas CA. So he was just really talented in anything tech.
Hey, you guys copied our idea. Hold on. This was our idea.
Oh, no, that's not possible. Maybe he created it for you guys.
No. Hold on, hold on. This is 100% you guys copied our idea. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because Baz was the same thing where, so your background, just to let everybody who's not hearing, I mean, who's hearing this and not watching it, right? So, your background is basically your Pope House assembly, right? So like it has everybody from school. It has everybody from school. And this is recent. This is not, is this recent or was it during your batch?
This when I was in 11th. This is not recent. This is from 2008.
Okay. So then, yeah. So basically we had the same idea where we will show everybody like in that house as as the background, and we did the same thing. So ours was on the auditorium stairs. So I took a camera and went across and took the entire house as the background, and then I kind of pixelated them into green and red so that it became a nice pattern, and that became our background.
But hey, what if our magazine actually came for yours and you copied it,
No, we had the idea. We didn't copy yours. We had the idea before only. That much I know. I mean, before or after, I don't know at this point. But
Okay. Do
at this
you remember
point,
in 8th standard before we moved on to the new block? Do you remember that assembly session where 4 8th standard guys, students, played Californication
I was
on
coming.
Monday morning?
I was coming to that. I was coming to that. That was what I was getting to, right? So just at this point, right, Sham, before we get into that, I think we should probably take a quick break so that we organize our thoughts for a few seconds, and then we will get into some specific nostalgic moments and kind of see how that ties into our present day life. So
All
we'll take a
right.
break. So we'll be right back.
House of Dentistry is a one-stop solution for all your dental needs with a complete digital dentistry system allowing you to experience a full range of dental care, making your visits short and pleasant. With a fully equipped setup, utilizing all the recent technology and a well-trained team of professionals, they have been able to provide the best dental care available in the heart of Bangalore. They are situated in Sadashivnagar with a team of 16 doctors and assistants. Come visit House of Dentistry today. And now, back to your podcast.
Welcome back to the GWB podcast. I have Sham with me over here. Before we took a break, we left off with a certain musical performance at our assembly, which happened in the morning in school every day. And we're talking, of course, of this band called the Metallic Pythons, which had only one performance in their entire existence. And the rhythm guitarist is actually none other than Shyam, if I'm not mistaken. So Shyam.
Yeah, that's actually true, yeah.
Tell me everything about this, because I'm going to speak to the drummer very soon, if I haven't already, by the time I release this episode. So I want to know your version of this first.
I didn't remember the name of the band, so thanks for saying it.
It was Metallic Pythons, for sure. I remember that. Does it come back to you when I say it?
Metallic Pythons? Yeah, it came back now.
Yeah.
But it's really funny. So this was on a Monday morning, I remember.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say in sixth standard, I started, towards the end of sixth standard, I started learning guitar.
Mm-hmm.
I have this thing, like this achievement in every class. Like I feel like I've achieved this. And, you know, for example, like in fifth, I told you about all the things. Then in sixth standard, I would say one of my achievements is attending a summer school where I actually learned guitar. And the first song there was Take Me Home, Country Roads by John Denver. That's actually the only song I can still play without having to go to go in and check out the chords. My fingers just go into those chords. And this is the only song that I can play properly. But I mean, you have the guitar, you see the others in your class picking up new songs, and you also learn a few songs. So in sixth standard was about a lot of guitar. Then in seventh standard, quite interestingly, I actually met the drummer in question, Aditya Hegde. It was the first time I met him in school. And this was funny how we met, because like it was Cotonian Shield and neither of us were interested in the Cotonian Shield. And we both bonded over our no interest in Cotonian Shield and then started developing a friendship. And then actually he helped me buy an electric guitar. Now that guitar is still with me.
Oh, you brought it? Doesn't,
it doesn't work properly. The stock is gone. I just cannot throw it away. I cannot give it away. It has so much sentimental value that it's still there with me. It's an Ibanez G10. And this was something that we both bought together. And then in 8th standard, like I think Metallic Pythons. And like, it was so funny. I don't know why we chose that song, but we really wanted to do it. And in the assembly, just, you know, bring in that metal feel to it and give it to everyone in the assembly.
Which is hilarious because Californication is not a metal song.
But it was the easiest song to play. You know, it was just, you just had to, I think, change two chords and then just strum in a very funny way.
And I knew for a fact. So if you were playing rhythm, you used the school equipment, right? You didn't bring your guitar for it.
Of course, yeah.
So that means the rhythm guitar was the green and white one. The bass guitar was the full red one, which Varun would have used. And then I know for a fact that you guys didn't bring the entire drum kit
that was the fine part.
Yeah, because Hegde had only learned a few beats by then, and he picked whatever he wanted. He knew how to play. The rest he left behind.
There was one bass drum by the snare.
Yeah, and a hat. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, hat was also there.
Yeah.
I think it was because the others were not, we didn't know how to play, or he didn't know how to play, and the others were very heavy or something.
Yeah, exactly. No, of course, because you guys had to carry it, right? So like the whole idea, and I think that's why I love Hegde so much. I'm sure he was like, if I'm not playing it, why should we simply carry it for show?
The whole thing was a show.
No, it was good. It was also good because, again, right, I think, and I love everybody from my batch in various degrees. Because I think if I had said I love everybody from my batch without any conditions attached, you only would have laughed and called me out right now. So I like everybody from my batch in various degrees, but there was always, in any aspect of school, right, there was always the go-to people or the best people at something. And in this aspect, in music, I guess the Metallic Pythons were not the alpha or the primary go-to music people back in the day. So for me, I found it, like, the reason I remember all these details is because you guys were not the usual music guys. You guys came together, made some music together and performed. That's why it's so fresh in my mind even today. And the reason I knew Hegde is the drum beat is because we both took the same drum classes together and he put it to use.
Hey, so, you put the guitar to use. You put the other music recording teams. Come on.
No. I'm saying at that time. You know what I'm trying to say?
Like, at that time. Okay.
At that time. I mean, my musical journey has gone. I mean, that was also a bit of a subconscious trigger on my side saying that, man, even you should make music, Nikhil. So, and you know, like, life has gone so far with me and music after that. So definitely a very influential moment in my life also. Watching you guys, the Metallic Pythons. I wonder, when in the break, I also looked up something to just be sure. I'm just trying to circle back on a couple of things which we don't have to go all the way back to. But so you said you liked the movie Border.
Yeah.
Right. And then there was this character called Mathura Das in that. He's the guy who said, "Chutti mil gayi, I got leave to go see my," but he comes back in the end, right? You know who character is? So
I think I know. Yeah.
So the name of that guy, the person who plays him, his name is Sudesh Berry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is a very long and convoluted connection to what we've been talking about. But he acted in another movie called LOC Kargil in 2003.
Okay.
And you know whom he plays in that movie?
No, I've not seen the movie.
I've not seen it either, but I remember this for a reason. And I just wanted to confirm it. He plays Colonel Lalit Rai.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
See, I never thought in all the years that a Bollywood movie would have influenced you to dream about something. Just knowing you,
man, this was a big thing. I think everyone, a lot of people who saw the movie, had this dream of doing something for the Indian Army.
I wanted to beat a girl in basketball after watching Kuch Kuch Hota Hai. That was my dream. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, we are not the same people. We are very different, my friend. That's what I'm trying to explain.
It probably also depends on where you see it. Because, like, this is a movie that was released in, I think, 98. And at that time, I was in the midst of really people who were going left, right, and center into the army, like in UP and...
That's a very good point.
And all. Everyone was, like, a lot of people wanted to go in the army anyway. And this movie sort of stoked that feeling more. And then I'm like, that's when it developed, and then it stayed on. Like, things don't change so quickly when you move to another city, right?
No, fair. I think me personally, I never had to move cities in my entire schooling life, right? So I went to our school from kindergarten all the way till 12th standard. The only thing I did have to do is switch houses. I was in a different part of town before I came to become your neighbor. But even that was for me a big cultural change, because I used to live in South Bangalore, which used to be more traditional. And I mean, like, more traditional Kannadiga, and, like, you know, we ate our curd rice at night and whatever not. But when you came closer to the city where we used to say Langford Town,
mm-hmm.
we shared a wall with a Shia cemetery. So once a year during the festival of Moharram, the roads are blocked and you see people hitting themselves. And I was like, this is new. But yeah, that was the only change I had. I mean, but coming from Kanpur to Bangalore, so it also probably, I guess, Bangalore was just, I think 90s Bangalore was still laid back and lazy in a nice way.
2000s, actually. I came in 2000 or 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And when were we in fifth? I think 2001, right?
Fifth would have been 2001. Yes, that is correct. Yeah.
Yeah, that time it was laid back. I mean, the difficulty of saying bye to your old friends is always there, but then you make new good friends who you're actually more in touch with than the people in your earlier years in karma. So
good. No, so Shyam, the reason I was going back to that a little bit was, I mean, coming back to the concept of GWB and everything, the whole idea of GWB is, while we all wore the same uniform, attended the same classes, on the outside, it could have looked like, you know, 60 people in a room lived 60 identical lives. But really, there are 60 different stories for almost any different moment. I know we reminisced some of the common shared memories, but I'm kind of also curious on things which appeared the same to us, but was actually different in each of our minds. So like, you gave me, see, like, it's very interesting. You already gave me examples about how every year you picked a highlight, right? So you said like, yeah, in sixth, it was the guitar. And like, so that's kind of very interesting, because for me, sixth standard, I know my class teacher's name. I know that my parents invested in clothes double the size, or two sizes bigger, because I will grow. The only thing I very vividly remember is hand cricket. And not with, there was no ball involved. This is that order even you put numbers and you play. So,
so and like, book cricket. Of course you remember book cricket, I'm assuming.
No. Book cricket was the less intense one. Book cricket was like, even in the nerd games, no, there was a hierarchy.
Okay.
you know what I mean? So like, so if you sucked at hand cricket, you'll say, go play book cricket on the side. Don't come here.
That's a life skill to learn, no hierarchy.
Yeah. And that's what it is. And if you think about it, if you put the math involved over there, book cricket was dealing with probability of, it was only your ability to like pick a page. I mean, the probability of you landing a zero. But hand cricket involved working on the psyche of the other person to see what are the chances they would put the same number as you. Now that I look back. But now, again, I've been propping you as, you know, like a person with good grades, well-behaved and everything else. But do you remember, first of all, did you ever feel challenged in school? Was anything ever difficult for you? And when was the first time you felt that?
Oh, hi. You made it this far. Thank you for listening to the first episode. We will continue this conversation with Shyam next week on episode 2. Till then, bye-bye.